Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakti So, we welcome you on the most auspicious occasion of the beginning of Kartik in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has translated.
The observance of Kartik is mentioned as one of the items of devotional service there. Rupa Goswami explains, with reference to Vedic literature, that just as Lord Damodar magnifies the service of his devotees, so the service of the devotees during the month of Damodar is magnified. In other words, by a very small performance of devotional service in the month of Damodar, one gets a very big result. And there are other statements that confirm the same fact, especially when observed in Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada has also explained that wherever the deity of Radha and Krishna are installed, that is also Vrindavan. So we can take advantage of the same benefit here. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a store that will have a sale. Sometimes when a new store opens, they'll have a sale, and you can get a very valuable item by paying a very small amount. So the month of Kartik is like a sale. Transcendental sale, and by a little investment in terms of spiritual practices, you can get a great benefit. And of course, as with a store that has a sale, the management would hope that you would like the store and continue to patronize it even after the sale is over. So we also hope that that you'll continue your spiritual practices or increased spiritual practices even after the month of Kartik ends. There is a special potency to the month itself. Just as certain times of the day are more auspicious for spiritual practices, like the Brahma Muhurta period, which begins about 1 hour and 32 minutes before sunrise, the value of one's practices is enhanced. So similarly, within the year, the month of Kartik is considered the most auspicious month. And devotees try to take advantage of the facility offered by Kartik by, on the one side, increasing their spiritual practices. Some devotees will chant more rounds, they will read extra, they will say more prayers, they will do extra service. And on the other side, decreasing their involvement with the material world, decreasing their sense gratification. So some devotees will allow, as it is, we're in the period of Chaturmasya. So every month we forego a certain type of food. But in Kartik, devotees may do extra austerities. They may only eat once a day, or they may not eat sweets or whatever it is. Some area of their spiritual life where they feel they need to work to improve. And we get special mercy in the month of Kartik to fulfill their vows and improve their spiritual practices. Today also is Sharad Purnima, the full moon night of the Sharad month. And it is the night on which Krishna laid upon his transcendental fruit at Lamsivat in the Yamuna River in Vrindavan and called the gopis to dance with him. Now, we may take the idea of him playing on his flute to call the gopis to dance with him in a figurative way. But actually, Krishna's flute is one of his messengers. And the gopis heard not only the beautiful melodious sound of the flute, but they received the message that Krishna wants to meet them. And because their only desire is to please Krishna, to fulfill his desires and make him happy, they all went there, not with the aim of fulfilling any selfish desire of their own, but only with the aim of fulfilling Krishna's transcendental desires. So the rasa dance, because it superficially resembles the dancing of men and women in the material world, can easily be misunderstood. And there are critics of Lord Krishna, critics of the Srimad Bhagavatam, critics of Krishna consciousness, that find fault with Krishna for the Rasa Lila. I know there are religious groups outside of the Vedic tradition. They find fault that they think Krishna was a womanizer. And how can you worship a God that enjoys good women? But they really don't understand the pure love exchanged by Krishna and the gopis. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains the difference between love or prema and lust or kama. And in lust, the person wants to gratify his own senses. And in pure love, the devotee wishes to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses. So the two may resemble each other, but actually they are completely different. Because iron and gold are both metals, but there's a great difference between them, between the worth of them. So the pure love of the gopis for Krishna is like gold. And the lust of people in the material world who want to gratify their senses is like iron. Now, another point of question in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is that the name of Radha is not mentioned. And sometimes people also raise the question, you are worshipping Radha and Krishna, Radha Radhana. On what authority? We don't find the name of Radha in the Bhagavad Gita or even in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the five chapters that describe the Rasa Lila, we find that after Krishna called the gopis and began to dance with them, one of the gopis left the arena of the Rasa dance, and Krishna followed her. And when the other gopis were plunged in separation from Krishna and began to search all over the Vrindavan forest for him, they found that there were two pairs of footprints, Krishna's and another gopi. So the gopis, in their separation from Krishna, exclaim that this gopi, this gopi has worshipped Hari better than all of us, and therefore she has gotten to be with Krishna now. So that word, aradhito, which means worship, that the word Radha comes from that same root, to worship. She worships Krishna best. And the acharyas have explained that in this verse, although her name is not explicitly mentioned, but in an indirect way, in this verse, the super excellent glories of Srimati Radharani are proclaimed. And in the end, Krishna also left Srimati Radharani. And when the other gopis came upon her, they found her in such a state of lamentation and separation that they felt that actually she loves Krishna more. There's a very technical science that discusses what actually took place in the Rasa Lila, why Krishna left with Radharani, and why eventually he left her. But his ultimate purpose was to reunite all of the gopis. And when the other gopis saw Srimati Radharani in such a state of ecstasy in lamentation, they also felt sympathetic for her. They didn't feel any envy towards her. And then all together, they continue to search for Krishna in the forest. But they could not find him. And finally they decided that we cannot find Krishna unless he wishes to be found. We cannot force him to come before us. So they considered, how can they attract Krishna's attention? How can they move Krishna to come to them? And then they decided that the best method is Sankirtan, chanting the glories of Krishna together. So they returned to the banks of the Yamuna, where they had met originally, and they began to sing the glories of Krishna, very beautiful songs of the gopis in separation, called Gopi Gita. And when Krishna heard the loving prayers of the gopis, Sankirtan, his heart was moved, and he could no longer stay away from them, and he came to them, he reappeared before them. And again, there was some very interesting dialogue between Krishna and the gopis, in which the gopis expressed in a very tactful way their concern that Krishna had abandoned them, that he had called them to him, they had risked everything to go to him in the middle of the night, and then he left them. So they wanted to ask Krishna why. So in a very intelligent way, they said that there are three types of lovers. They posed this question, they mentioned different categories of lovers, or different ways that lovers deal with others. And they asked Krishna, in which category do you fit? And one of the categories, anyway, but so at the end, Krishna admitted that he could not reciprocate with them. You know, one of the categories was the person who reciprocates exactly with the other person. In other words, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You know, if you ignore me, I'll ignore you. So Krishna says that they are like merchants. They give only with the expectation of return. And they don't give more than they expect in return. And then the next category, they love even though the other person doesn't love them. Like parents. In principle, the parents love the children no matter what the children do. The children may not appreciate the parents' service to them, but the parents go on loving them and serving them. But even better than parents are devotees. Because parents will serve their children, but just their children. But devotees have the same attitude of service towards everyone. They will serve everyone, whether people appreciate it or not. They'll try to help everyone. And so Lord Krishna said, those who love others, even if others don't love them in return, they are following the true path of Dharma, and they're the true friends of humanity. And then the third category is those who don't reciprocate even when others love them. The first category is, I reciprocate as much as you love me. The second category is, even if you don't love me, I love you. And the third category is, even if you love me, I don't reciprocate. So the gopis wanted Krishna to admit that he was in the third category. They didn't want to say it, but they wanted to hear it from Krishna's own mouth. They wanted to trap him in a subtle network of wise words. And then within that category, there are different distinctions. There's Atmarama, that someone is completely self-satisfied. Even if you love him, he won't reciprocate because he's self-satisfied. He's in transcendental bliss. Then there's Aptakama. That means someone whose desires are already satisfied. He has desires, but they're satisfied, so he doesn't need them. So even if you love him, he won't reciprocate. And then there is there's one other category, I forget the Sanskrit. And then there's the last category, Guru Drupi, people who, in the first categories, you love me, but I don't reciprocate. And in this last category, Guru Drupi, you love me, and it's not that I'm just indifferent to you. The third category is someone who's indifferent, but the fourth category is someone who becomes inimical. So, in the end, Krishna had to reply. And his answer was that actually, I did not neglect you. You thought that I was neglecting you, but I never neglected you. All the time I was thinking of you. But in order to make your love for me increase, I hid myself from you. That's like a rich man, if he has some money, or especially a poor man who earns a lot of money and then loses it. He'll think of the money all the time. What happens to my money? How can I get my money back? So Krishna said, you know, I was reciprocating because your desire was to increase your love for me. And by hiding myself from you, I created a situation whereby your love for me would increase. So I was reciprocating with you. But although Krishna's argument sounded good, there was a defect in it. And that was that the gopi's love was already unlimited, and it was naturally increasing. So that could not have been the real reason. Anyway, again, there's another intricate and elaborate discussion of the acharyas on the dialogue between Krishna and the gopis. But at the very end, Krishna admits defeat. He says, Upareyeham, that actually I cannot repay your service to me, even with the prolonged life of Brahma. Because you have given up everything for me. You've given up family ties, you've given up morality, chastity, you've forsaken everything for my sake, which I could not do for you. You've given up all of your other relationships for my sake, but I couldn't do that for you. I still have my father and mother and my friends. You went out of the house in the middle of the night, but I sneak up and I return in the morning so no one catches me. But you, with complete abandon, have come out to meet me without any consideration of the consequences. And I have so many devotees that I have to reciprocate with. In Durya Ras, in Vatsalya Ras, in Sakya Ras, in Dasya Ras, in Shanta Ras, I reciprocate with the sadhakas in the material world who are struggling and trying to become devotees. I reciprocate with everyone who approaches me. But you love only me. So I cannot equal your love for me. So I admit that I can never repay my debt to you and you have. I am defeated by your love. And the gopis were so touched by Krishna's words, they thought, now he has defeated us. We could not admit to him that he defeated us, but he has admitted to us that we defeated him. So he has defeated us. But this is all on the platform of transcendental love. And it is said that later when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, later Dwarka, the gopis were left in separation from Krishna. They would think of his words to him, the Paraye Hum, and that would give them solace to bear the separation. And that, of course, is also a very intricate subject, because even in separation from Krishna, they experience his presence. So, but to give a simple explanation of the Gospels, all the gopis were dancing in a circle, and Krishna was next to each gopi. And each gopi felt that Krishna is with me alone. Each gopi was satisfied with Krishna. And one of our god brothers, His Grace Garuda Das Adhikari, he is a professor at a college in the United States, and he has written a study, a translation and a study of the five chapters of the Rasalila, which has been published by the Princeton University Press, which is one of the most prestigious presses in academia. And there he uses the image of the rasa dance as a symbol of interfaith. And it's a symbol that is actually very appropriate. Especially in a country like South Africa. And the idea is that there were so many gopis, and each was individual, but Krishna was by the side of each one, reciprocating for each one perfectly. He accepted all of them. And there was complete harmony, not only between Krishna and the gopis, but between all of the gopis. In this divine dance of divine love. So the idea is that, you know, in the context of interfaith, different worshipers may worship God in different ways. They may have different practices, they may have different rituals, they may have different scriptures, they may speak in different languages. But God reciprocates with all of them. And not only that, if they themselves can be in harmony, not only with God, but with each other, in this sort of dance of divine love, then there can be complete harmony in the world. Just as in the end, there was complete harmony, not only between Krishna and the gopis, but between the gopis themselves. So today is a very sacred occasion, the beginning of Kartik Rut, and the night in which Krishna enjoyed the rasa dance with the gopis. So we will continue our celebration with Arati and then a boat festival. It was actually part of the rasa vila that Krishna and the gopis would have water sports and they were going to boats. So we would celebrate with them.